And then she heard that person talking, and he started coming in through the door. And she was really scared, but there was nothing that she could do. Even if she tried to run out, she couldn't do anything. She was really scared when he started coming in through the door. And then he went in through the door, and she seen those, that woman and that little boy on the floor. You know, he seen that woman. He went in and said, "Forgive me for what I have said. Don't be scared of me. What you broke out there, that ore, and the one that I really got mad at you about, just forget it, okay? I wouldn't want to hurt somebody that's got a little child." And he said, "Are you sure that you ate?" They said, "Well, we were hungry, and we looked at the food for a while, so they ate a little bit." And then he really tried to make her feel real good, you know. He said, "Eat any much you want to. You know, right now, you could make yourself comfortable." And that woman got to be where she wasn't scared anymore, because he treated her so good. For the whole week or something like that, he really made her feel at home. But every day, never miss, he never stayed home. He always went out hunting. And then every time he went out to go hunting, he'll say, "Don't forget now, don't try to starve yourself. Eat any much you want to, because there's all kinds of food here. Always remember, try to make yourself comfortable. Just don't be scared of me. And remember, don't be hungry. And don't be scared of me, please." She got to be where she wasn't scared anymore, because she knew that she felt good and she felt at home. And he really treated her like a woman, because it got to be where he liked her. And after the fifth day, as a tradition, like they always did, they got married. And then finally their boy got real big. That man really loved him as a son, because he never had a son. He took him anywhere that he wanted to go to. And then every time he went out hunting, he'll see this parka that was flying, made out of bird feathers and so forth, that was out in the porch. He always seen it, and he was wondering what it was, and they found out that he usually put that bird feather jacket on and go out hunting. That's one of the reasons why he was a real good hunter, because he changed into a bird and killed all the caribou and walrus and whale meat and bearded seal or anything. And they never went hungry. And they really loved each other. He really loved his son, just like his own son. He got him a bird feather that fit him and decided to teach him how to fly. It took him a while to learn how to fly with the bird feather. And finally, he learned how to fly like a bird. Whenever his father went out hunting, he went with them. They taught him how to hunt, to get caribou, to hunt everything, ptarmigans, and even the animals that lived in the ocean. When he went out to hunt whale, he checked to see if they had some kind of red streak on them, and then he learned this. And finally, one day he went out and got a whale by himself. And then he grabbed a hold of the whale and took it home. And then he was really happy. His father-in-law was really happy about this. When he found out that he could hunt by himself, he decided to let him and didn't follow him anymore and decided to retire, since his son would support them with the food and everything. And he was getting kind of old anyway. And he started staying home, and their son started going out hunting for both the mother and the father. He took all kinds of animals home, and then it was in one of these days that he stayed alone with his parents, and he asked his mother, "Mom, do you know where some other people live?" His mother said, "Well, we're not from here. We came from a different village. And our father didn't seem to love us anymore because he was in love with this other woman. I took you over here to live in a different village. I took this bear skin and we got floated and we left to this land and we reached this place where your stepfather is now. And since then, we've been living with him. But if you want to know where that place is, your father should still be living there. Your father is usually the first one on the boats when they're out whaling. When we start to go that time, I talked to you and told you to go to your father, but your father wouldn't have anything to do with you. He let you go back and forth when you were small, and we kept telling you to go to your father, and your father kept telling you to go to me. That's when you were small. I know that we were really, you know, sorry about both of us when your father had nothing to do with us. I guess because he was in love with another woman. Remember that he loved that woman too much. He could even drink her that water and that thing that when he went to the bathroom. He loved her so much that he could even eat that. So anyway, the young man was flying around one time and decided to go to that land where his father lived at. And he started flying real high and it was real calm. And he kept flying and flying, and he seen something like boats or something, so he went down there. He circled around and got closer to them so that you could see them. They looked like they were in one place, and he noticed that they had gone together because he seen this guy that was in front of that boat, so he went over there and went to the first man. And he remembered that his father was always the first one on the boat. So he went over to the boat. He landed in front of that man's boat. He took his hood off and, you know, his head, the kind that they, like a mask. And the minute he took his mask off, his father recognized him and said, "My son, my son." When he noticed that when he called him his son, that young man said, "My mother and I, you didn't have pity on us. When my mother told me to go to you when I was small, I'll go to you. But you'll say, go to your mother." That's what you would say to her. "And you let me go back and forth to both of you. You had no pity on me. When I go to you, you wouldn't even pick me up, but you would let me go to my mother." He started talking to his son and said, "Son, son, I won't do it again." He said, "You are my son. I recognize you. I won't do it again. I won't do it again. Not ever." "No, I don't think I like it. When you let me go back and forth, you had no pity on me. I feel sorry for you right now, but it is your work. You let me and my mother suffer." So he grabbed a hold of his father and he flew him off. They noticed that these boats that were with them had already run away from that birdman. And then he flew him way high up, really flew him up and let go of him. And then just before he reached the water, he went down and grabbed a hold of him. And then he took him off up again, you know, roaring him up again. And he went real higher, this time way higher than he did before. And then he dropped him again. And he did that constantly. Every time he get near the water, he'll pick him up. He took him way up high, and then he just dropped him in the water. And that's when he killed his father. And when he went home, said he didn't take anything home. When he went home and he found out that his son didn't catch anything, he said, how come you didn't catch anything today? Usually he went home with something. And then he answered, I killed my father. I did as you said. I seen these boats and I seen the first man and I went over there and he recognized seen him. He called me son. I landed in front of his boat and he called me son. The minute I took my hat off, he recognized me, even though it's been a long time since he's seen me. But I didn't give him any pity since he didn't pity us when I was small, since you told me about that. So that's why I killed my father. And his mother found out that he had killed his own father. And then those people from Point Hope, when they go out hunting, they used to have kayaks, but they were against him so much that they quit using those boats, those regular kayak boats, because of that bird man that killed his father. And that is how the story ended. The next story is also by my grandfather, Floyd Avakana. The name of the story of this is Two Grandfathers. In this land, there were two grandfathers, and they had two sons. They lived like that for quite a while. And they always went to this place to eat, the hunting ground. This feasting ground. And then this place where the people always eat, he'll always take his grandson over there. It was in one of these days, these two grandsons went to the feasting ground. They usually sit by this the corner, you know, because they were poor. It was a real dirty place where they stayed. Every time they're going to eat, those women, you know, would put them on the corner and they'll start eating, you know, their crumbs. And then while he's there, these women that had the kids had these kids go to the bathroom. They didn't have diapers at that time, so they put them in these potties. And then when they went to the potties, they'll go over there and throw it at these people that were poor. You know, just throw it on them, and they got to be where their clothes really stank. And it got to be where that poor person was getting older. They never changed anywhere. They stayed in that same place. And he couldn't stand that smell anymore. And they had these rich people that stayed there too, so that liked them. And then so they always gave them their clothes away to them that they had used, but at least they were clean and they didn't stink. And the reason why their clothes got to stink was because of those other women throwing the parties to them, you know, the kids when they went to the party. They dump it at them. That's how much they disliked them. And this young man got to be where he couldn't stand it anymore. That was the only place where they could go eat, too, the certain corner. And then finally, when he grew up, when their grandson grew up, they always went to these people that were rich, you know, the ones that always gave to them. They changed their clothes from them when they throw them away. But they'll give it to them instead of really throwing them away. And that was the only place where they could stay over there. And they always wished that there was some other place where they could go eat, but there was so much, not any room over there for them to go to. And then it was a long time ago, later, that they decide to move. So they moved to a place where there was no more people or there was nobody around. He showed he starts showing his grandson how to hunt, you know, taking him out and everything and teaching him how to hunt. Before they had left that time, those two people that always gave him food and everything did give him some food to eat so that they could eat on the way over to wherever they were going to move. And then that was before they could start hunting and everything. And they really went far away where anybody else couldn't reach them, where they thought that other people couldn't reach them. And moved to a place where other people, where they thought that other people wouldn't find them because they got to be where they couldn't stand it anymore. And then he started learning how to use a trap and everything. His grandfather taught him how to use the traps and everything so that he could really learn how to hunt, you know, so that he didn't have to worry about being hungry anymore. So he really learned how to be a real good hunter, and it got to be where he wasn't hungry anymore. And then he became a young man. He got to learn how to use a rope, you know, where he could throw it like a lasso, it, you know, and then and aim at something and catch it. He got to be just perfect on it. And then he wanted to be a perfect hunter, really a perfect hunter, so that his father didn't have to take him anymore when he went out hunting, I mean his grandfather. And he started lassoing all these ptarmigans and everything, and so that they didn't have to worry anymore. And he didn't have a bow and arrow. He was never taught how to use a bow and arrow. And finally, he became just perfect. Really perfect. And it got to be where he couldn't miss anymore. And it got to even be where he could catch caribou with it. And he started hunting and really started getting a lot of caribous, and it got to be where he even grab a hold of a caribou and just carry it home. He didn't even have to. That's how strong he got. He'll walk it home, and it wouldn't even bother him any. And finally, his father and his grandmother started making him clothes out of these caribou skins, and got to be where they had real good clothes, and they didn't have to, they threw the old clothes away that they had before. I mean, you know, they just took them off and they set them aside. They put them away. I don't know why they put them away. And those clothes that stink, they just put them aside. And it got to be where he had two caches where there was just full of food and all kinds of food. It didn't matter what kind it was, caribou, everything, whether it was ptarmigan or whatnot. He really learned how to fight them and get them and kill them. And they really had a big cache. In fact, they had two caches now that they could put their food away in. And then finally, when they filled two caches, they were there for a long time. And finally, their grandson got real huge. And he asked his grandfather, he said, you know, we should go see some people. Let's go to that place where we came from. You know, when he wanted to go somewhere, he didn't say anything to him. He didn't say no, but he said yes. And then so his grandson started getting ready to go. He put everything in, dried meat and everything in their pack, and then put them in their back so that they didn't have to go hungry. They took caribou and everything, anything that you could name, they took it with him, and they tied it and left with it because they took all kinds, even those intestines that were dried. And then they decide to go.